Thank you for standing by. Welcome to the NCAA Division I Committee on Infractions Press Conference. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. Later, we will conduct a question-and-answer session. Instructions will be given at that time. If you should need assistance during the conference, please press star, then zero. As a reminder, this conference is being recorded. I would now like to turn the conference over to your host, Emily James. Please go ahead.
Thank you. Welcome to today's press call to discuss the NCAA Division I Committee on Infractions decision regarding Southeastern Louisiana University. As members of the media, you should have received a link to both the press release and public decision, which contains the details of this case. The information can also be found at ncaa.org. The Committee on Infractions is an independent group comprised of representatives across the NCAA membership and the public. The members who reviewed this case include Greg Christopher, Chief Hearing Officer and Athletics Director at Xavier University, Roscoe Howard, Jr., Attorney Eleanor Myers, Law Professor and Faculty Athletics Representative at Temple University, Jim O'Fallon, Law Professor and Faculty Athletics Representative at University of Oregon, Sankar Suryana Ryan, University Counsel, Princeton University, and Rodney Epoff, Law Professor at the University of Missouri, Columbia. Greg Christopher will now discuss the findings and decisions of the Infractions Committee. Following his opening comments, he will take questions.
Thank you, Emily. The Committee on Infractions decision details the findings and penalties in this case. Our comments today are designed to address your questions. However, the report stands on its own merits. This case follows a 2013 infractions case for the university, which was resolved through the summary disposition process. It centers on the Southeastern Louisiana University women's volleyball program and a former head coach who violated the NCAA's ethical conduct rules when he provided false information about the role of a former volunteer coach. The former head coach invited a volunteer coach to join his staff with the opportunity to become a full-time assistant coach. Upon joining the staff, the volunteer coach was treated as an assistant coach and engaged in coaching activities at the request of the former head coach. Despite the volunteer coach participating in coaching activities, the former head coach did not count the volunteer coach. During his interview with the NCAA enforcement staff, the former head coach stated that the volunteer coach did not have a role with the volleyball team during the June and July 13 periods. However, the former head coach actually instructed the volunteer coach to perform coaching activities during that time period. Additionally, the former head coach did not promote an atmosphere of compliance within his program when he arranged, participated in, or directed the impermissible countable athletic activity and interactions with prospects. During the summer of 2013, the former head coach, volunteer coach, and an assistant coach arranged, attended, monitored, and instructed student athletes in open gym sessions, adult gym sessions, and during the university's volleyball camp. Lastly, the women's volleyball staff had impermissible interactions with four prospects. The former head coach and the assistant coach observed a prospect playing volleyball on her unofficial visit, and in another prospect's case, the volunteer coach provided one-on-one instruction to the prospect while attending the university's summer camp, contrary to NCAA rules. The assistant coach also arranged for two prospects who were incoming freshmen to stay with volleyball student athletes at no cost so they could participate in the university's summer camp. The university discovered the violations quickly, conducted an internal investigation, and agreed with all the violations. Penalties and corrective actions self-imposed by the school and adopted by the panel include a one-year extension of probation from the university's 2013 infractions case. The probation period will now end on December 9, 2018, a $5,000 fine, and a two-year show cause order from April 9, 2015 through April 8, 2017 for the former head coach. During the time, if he is employed at a member institution as a head coach, he must have a limit of 19 evaluation days during the recruiting calendar year for 2 years and must be suspended from the first 30% of one regular season's competitions. Additional information is contained in the public decision. The university also reduced the amount of athletic activities during the 2013-14 season and reduced the recruiting of a prospect. This concludes my opening remarks.
Thank you, Greg. Seeing no questions, this concludes our comments for today. Thank you for joining us. A recording of this teleconference will be available in the near future on the NCAA website at ncaa.org.